Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Palazzo Limited H2 FY25 Results Conference Call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to point out that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Rajnish from Confidelity Partners. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good day, ladies and gentlemen. Rajnish here from Confidelity Partners. On behalf of Ventura Securities and Confidelity Partners, I warmly welcome you all to Palazzo Limited H2 FY25 Earnings Conference Call. The company is today represented by Mr. Subhash Menon, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Sharath Hegde, Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Subhash Menon for his quick opening remarks and brief introduction about Palazzo Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining the call. The plan is for us to take you through the business of the company, some financial details, and other relevant aspects over the next 15 minutes or so, and then we will throw the floor open to questions. We have uploaded a deck, a presentation on our website, and also it has been put up on the NSE website as well. Hopefully, you all have had an opportunity to download and check that. But in any case, even if you don't have that in front of you, it doesn't matter. I'll anyway be discussing and explaining those points in detail and details. I'm joined by my colleague, Sharath, who is the CFO of the company. So with that, let me start. Palazzo's business, since this is the first call, I would like to explain a little bit about our business so that you all understand what that is. We work very closely with telcos. Those are our enterprise customers. And at this point in time, Palazzo works only with telcos. We help them in a particular area called customer engagement. For that, we have got a platform which also has a few, I mean, this platform has a few products on it. So it's a suite of products. It is not necessary for them to buy all the products from us. They can buy one or two or so. Currently, we have five, six products which forms that one suite. But all the products go and operate to reach one end objective, and that is to increase revenue and reduce churn. They do it from different angles, but the objective is the same: reduce churn and increase revenue. Now, the way we do that is by using technologies which you must be familiar with, like GenAI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and these days agentic AI, and a lot of analytics, different algorithms. So we use all these technologies, a variety of them, to process all the data that we collect. So essentially, our solution, our software, sits within. Sharath, are you able to hear me properly? I'm just checking.
Yes, yes. I'm able to hear.
Yeah, it's quite clear. Okay, fine. So we collect all the data that flows through a telecom network. And if you want to understand what data I'm referring to, just think about all that you do with your phone. You could buy things. You make phone calls. You send messages. You download. You browse. All of that that you do on the telco with your phone, we call all of them as transactions. So a call for you is a transaction for us. A message you send is a transaction for us. So we collect. So it's not just monetary transaction. It's just any activity. So we collect all the data, which is a huge amount of data. Then we process all of them. So you can imagine tens of millions of subscribers doing all these every minute, every second. So that's why the volume is very high. We process all of that. So we use big data technology. And then we analyze all of that using the technologies I mentioned earlier. Then we come up with insights, we come up with findings. Then we help the telcos to actually go after these subscribers and, you know, trying to upsell, cross-sell, make them happy so that churn is lower, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we don't have any privacy issue or, you know, data security issue and all that, because all the data that we use belongs to the telco who is our customer. So it's first-party data. Our solution stays within the telco's ecosystem, environment, network, so there is no you know, security issue or privacy issue there. And the telco uses our platform to actually understand, to get these insights, then send appropriate campaigns and all that. At this point in time, we've got almost 40 networks, so, and that's across about 34-odd countries. We have, you know, our technology, some of our technology is patented, because we do bring about significant differentiation in what we do. I would like to now pause. I mean, so this is the business. I can explain more about the business. It's called customer engagement. It's fundamentally helping telcos to engage very deeply with their subscribers with the objective of cross-selling and upselling and keeping them happy so that the revenue of the telco increases and the churn reduces. And we work on telco data, first-party data, for this purpose. I would like to you know, now request Sharad to give us a quick overview of some of the financials. And then we'll get on with the rest of the business.
Yeah. Thank you, Ashton. So, hello all. This is Sharad, working with Palatin as the CFO. So, I would like to take you all through some of the key numbers that we have reported for the year. So, Palatro has achieved a total consolidated revenue of 85.77 crores for the financial year 24-25, resulting in an EBITDA of 19.82 crores at 23% of revenue and a PAT of 11.89 crores at almost 14% of revenue. The year-on-year growth in revenue was around 56%. Out of the total revenue, around 38.44 crores was achieved during the first half that ended on 30th September, which we had reported. The revenue for the second half was 47.33 crores, which is a 23% growth over the H1 revenue number. The corresponding EBITDA and PAT numbers were 8.67 crores and rupees 5.03 crores for H1. And rupees 11.14 crores and 6.86 crores for H2 respectively. While the half-year sequential growth of revenue was at around 23%, the EBITDA grew at 28% and PAT at 36% during the second half over the first half. So this higher growth in profit as compared to the growth in revenue brings out the fact that Palatro has achieved a non-linearity in growth. So in other words, the company has now reached a stage where to achieve a higher revenue, we need not incur a proportionate incremental cost. A non-linearity of this kind is an aim for almost every product company every product company desire to achieve this, and we are happy to highlight that we are currently seeing this in our company. So our endeavor is to keep on improving this non-linearity until we are at the optimal level of EBITDA. So these are a few points that I wanted to highlight from the financial front. Over to you.
Okay. Thanks, Sharad. So now that you understand our products and what I would like to touch upon a little bit from the services standpoint, we provide managed services around our products. We don't do any services. We are a pure software product company. That means we don't do services, bespoke services and all that. But we do help the telcos to use our products better. And that essentially means that the telcos will be able to take our support in configuring, in running the product properly, in taking better results out of that. So these kind of things, so we help them in these kind of aspects. That's what we do in managed services. So fundamentally ensuring that the product is working at its optimal level within a telco and that they're getting the best out of that. This is what we do by way of services. We So those are the products and the services that I just explained. We've been growing very nicely with respect to the number of customers. I already told you how many customers we have at this point in time. We believe that Palazzo will grow quite significantly in the years to come, and the reason is very simple. The set of products that we have are very critical for our customers. As I told you initially, it reduces the products, help them to increase revenue and reduce churn. Both are very, very critical objectives of a telco. So given that we are in the revenue stream of the telco and of any telco that we work with, so there's a high level of relevance for what we do within the telecom industry. We are a thought leader in the space. Over the past few years, we have replaced a lot of our competition and we have built up a very good client base of some very, very large telcos. In India, we work with Vodafone Idea. Then we work with Singapore Telecom Group, with Axiata Group, with Ooredoo Group, with a variety of Telenor Group, with various groups around the world. We work with them. We're currently working in multiple continents as well. So we have a very end-to-end platform. The products are very advanced. They use advanced technology. So with all that, the kind of strength we have with respect to the product, the kind of leadership we have with respect to the product ensures that our customers are happy with the product and we keep growing. I would like to touch upon the kind of growth strategy that we have. We have got a three pillar strategy. One is geographic expansion. We'll keep looking at new countries to go into. So that's one way of growing. You go into new countries, which means you sell to new telcos. The second is we expand more and more within one customer by selling. See, once you get into a customer by selling the first product, you can always try and sell a second product, a third product, a fourth product, and the services that we have, all that. So we deepen the relationship within, within every telco, and that helps us to increase the ticket size within every telco. So that is the second pillar of growth. A third pillar of growth is acquisitions. And this, basically, we believe will help us to expand our product base and also to further deepen the relationship we have with our telco customers. We have currently identified one acquisition, that of the business of a company called Estel Technologies. We are in the process of completing that transaction. Hopefully in the next 1 month or so, we should be able to conclude that. Once that is done, the product offering of Palazzo will expand quite significantly because they come in with three or four products of their own. They also serve the telco industry, so exactly similar sort of client base. So we will then have more products for the same client base, which means our relationship, we can cross-sell more products to the same customers. So our second strategy of getting higher ticket revenue from each customer will be further enhanced by that, by the acquisition strategy. So that's the overall strategy. So I've told you enough about that. I would request my colleague Sharad to touch a little bit upon our revenue model and then hand over for questions.
So our revenue model, the revenue can be basically split into two major parts, one being the repeat revenue and then one-time revenue. So the repeat revenue can be further split into recurring revenue and reoccurring revenue. So when we say recurring revenue, like we mean monthly or quarterly recurring fees that we charge to customers, which could be a monthly or a quarterly license subscription fee, AMC, managed services, or even revenue gain share. So when it comes to reoccurring, it is mainly change requests, which is nothing but customization requests from customers. So the difference between recurring and reoccurring revenue is that recurring revenue is mostly fixed and it is contracted, whereas reoccurring are ad hoc requests and then ad hoc revenue from the same customer. Then when we come to one-time revenue, it's mostly our perpetual license subscription and the implementation fee that goes along with that. So that's broadly the revenue model that we have. That's it.
Okay, so with that, we have told you about the business, about what we're doing, our strategy, our revenue model, some bits of our financials, and stuff like that. So we can throw the floor open to questions at this point in time without further ado.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Samarth Pachigar from Krizuna. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is regarding the what our relationship is with the Subex, because the current set of promoters was also the promoter in Subex. So what sort of relation do we have with Subex, and why there is a separate company serving the same client base which the Subex had? So what's the reason behind that? Can you highlight me?
Okay, I did indeed, found Subex several years ago, but I actually sold my stake and exited from Subex in 2012. That's like 12 years ago. So, and then I co-founded Palatro, and I've been building that. So I have no relationship with Subex any longer, neither has Palatro. And we actually sell very different products. We don't compete with Subex, and Subex does not compete with us. So that's why. We've got nothing to do with Subex.
Okay. Now, secondly, since on the balance sheet, then I see there is a goodwill on consolidation of around 18 crores. So, what that amount is, it is for the development that we have kind of patented, or it is for what?
So goodwill on consolidation is basically coming from our subsidiary in Singapore. So it is basically the accumulated debit balance in P&L as on the date of acquisition. The acquisition happened on 8th Jan 2024. So the debit balance mainly represents the expenses incurred towards development of product. So that has been capitalized as goodwill as on the date of the acquisition.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from Surya Khalagarla from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. First of all, congratulations for publishing a very good set of numbers. I wanted to understand why we are restricting ourselves to only telco companies, why we can't focus on any other segment or sector, and or do you have any plans to diversify to any other sectors?
Okay. Actually, it is for traditional reasons that we are in the telco sector. I have always worked in the telco sector, so I naturally started there and got going there. There's tremendous opportunity in the telco sector at this point in time. There's a very long way for us to grow, a lot of growth possibility. That's where we're focusing. Now, we can, of course, look at the new sector, but then that would also mean domain expertise to be built. Now, one of the key reasons why Palatro is very successful in the telecom sector is that we have very, very good domain knowledge with respect to telecom. Now, we have to build a similar thing in other sectors, and so we'd rather be a specialist than be a generalist. That's why. So this is why telcos love us as well, because we speak exactly their language when we go there, and they help us to that helps us to win customers. So we don't have a plan at this point in time to look at any other sector, because we believe there is tremendous opportunity in this sector itself.
Got it, sir. But can you touch upon the adjustment market in telco segment and about the peers in the segment?
Sorry, I didn't get you. You want me to talk about the adjacent market?
Addressable market, like what's the total scope and how much market share we have, something like that.
Oh, the addressable market. Okay, sorry, I was hearing adjacent. Okay, the way I would like to look at it, I mean, there are, of course, consultants who have come out with the size of the market, which runs into fairly large numbers. I don't like to look at it from that perspective. I rather look at it from our perspective of what we believe is the addressable market. So, at this point in time, there are about 400 odd telcos out there to whom we can sell. Now, this means that the amount of whatever products that we can sell, whatever ticket size that we can have, that is what is going to define the actual opportunity size or market size or addressable opportunity. That's how we look at it. Now, at this point in time, we believe that size is probably, I mean, currently our average ticket size is about 2.5 to 3 crores per telco. I would think that we can easily go to 4 crores, or maybe with the addition of multiple products, maybe we go to 5 crores. So at this point in time, I would think that our potential ticket size in a telco is maybe 4 crores, little over 4 crores. But since the last time we checked, we've added a new product, so maybe I can factor that in. So maybe we can say 5 crores per year per telco is probably that what we would look at. So if that is the case, then it's about 2,000 plus crores of market opportunity. We have a long way to go from that perspective.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Sridhar Jadhav from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So, congrats on good set of numbers. I have a couple of quick questions. So on standalone basis, the numbers are flattish. So on revenue and PBT on standalone basis, the growth is not, significant growth is not there. So
no, I didn't understand. On what is the growth not there, is it?
Standalone numbers.
Oh, standalone. Okay. All right. Sharad, do you want to take, because that is actually a business call, so do you want me to answer that, Sharad?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let me address that, although it's a financial question. See, we have got this parent and subsidiary, the parent in India and the subsidiary in Singapore, and we may have more subsidiaries in the future as well. We do not really look at this with respect to, you know, standalone company and the subsidiary and the group and all that. We simply go by where the customer is happy to contract. If the customer says that they prefer Singapore, and we also prefer, in many cases, we prefer Singapore because of, you know, foreign exchange transactions and stuff, that's much easier, and our IP is well, is based out of Singapore, well protected there and all that. So we may have more and more customers signing up with a subsidiary. So it really doesn't matter whether it comes in, whether India invoices or the product is the same, the business is the same, the salespeople and the people who run the business, it's all same, it's like one group. So we don't have a differentiation like that, and we honestly do not care whether it comes in standalone or in consolidated, or in the subsidiary. So our request to all of you is to actually disregard standalone. Standalone really for us it only matters to the extent of, you know, if dividend has to be declared, then there has to be profits in standalone. That's about it. But beyond that, we truly don't care about standalone. You should measure us from a consolidated standpoint only, because that's how we look at ourselves.
So my next question is on console numbers. So if I compare console versus standalone was 60 crores, console is almost 85 crores, and PBT in console is 15 crores versus standalone 8 crores. So that incremental 25 crore revenue from standalone to console is driving 7 crore PBT. That's like almost 28% PBT margins. So is it safe to assume that your whatever revenues that you're booking for overseas client comes up with very high EBITDA margins compared to domestic business?
Let me try and answer this. Standalone revenue, when you look at, the revenue also includes intercompany revenue between the holding and the subsidiary company. It may not be an apple-to-apple comparison when we compare the standalone EBITDA and consolidated EBITDA. As Mr. Menon mentioned, so we'll have to look at the consolidated numbers, which are the standard for us, and I mean, which actually give out the actual picture.
Understood. And sir, what
and
is
it is not just it is not it is not just that it is not that the overseas company is a subsidiary caters to overseas customers and standalone the Indian company caters to Indian customers. It's not like that. The Indian company also has overseas customers. It purely depends upon where it makes better sense to contract with the customer's preference and all that. So I repeat, please disregard every aspect about standalone. Just focus on consolidated if you want to understand the business.
Understood. Fair enough. I understood the inter-segment which is masking the numbers. And sir, one more question. So what would be the tentative guidance for next 2 years?
We are not giving a guidance. What we can tell you is that we will have very healthy growth and non-linearity will continue, which means profitability will grow faster than revenue growth.
Understood. And sir, how is the financial health of the Singapore subsidiary? Initially, it was making losses. So any color on that front?
Go ahead, sir.
Singapore subsidiary on a standalone basis as well is profitable now with addition of customers, etc. So, we expect it to be healthy from here.
We expect more customers to get added to Singapore than to India, so that will continue to improve.
And so what are the plans for this new fresh acquisition of Estel? So you'll merge it or you'll let it continue as a subsidiary and you see any cross-sell opportunities there. So what's the plan with this Estel technology?
Okay, so in India, we are not buying the company Estel Technologies Private Limited. We are only buying the assets in India. They have a subsidiary, they have a, you know, sister concern in the UAE. That one we are acquiring as a company. So there is a business asset transfer happening on a slump sale basis in India. And there's a share acquisition happening in the UAE. But of course, vast majority of the business is coming out of India. So a large chunk of the revenue will come out of India. Now that business asset, once we buy, will become a division of Pelatro. It will not be a subsidiary because it's an asset acquisition. It will become a division of Pelatro and we will then have a new subsidiary in UAE. So that will be there. But most of the business, as I told you, is out of the Indian entity of Estel and that will come as a slump sale to us and that will continue as a division of Pelatro. Now there is tremendous opportunity to cross sell because the customer base is the same telco space. So there are some common customers, but there are customers who are not common at this point in time. So we will be able to sell Estel products into the current Pelatro customer base and Pelatro products into the current Estel customer base. That is absolutely possible to increase our business on both sides. And as we keep moving forward and winning more and more telcos on this side or that side, every time we win a new telco on either of the two sides, it becomes a cross-sell opportunity for the other side.
Sounds great, sir. And sir,
Mr.
one last question at the time.
So can you join back the
queue? Okay, I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you, sir. I request the participants to restrict with 2 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. The next question comes from Keshav Kumar from MAPL Value Investing Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. First of all, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Before going to the business understanding questions, I had a few questions on the balance sheet. In H2 FY25, I can see a rise in the site, property, and equipment, as well as the right to use assets. So if you could explain what is that?
Okay, so the increase in property, plant, and equipment is that we have invested in some equipment, I mean, servers and laptops as well. As well as we have acquired an IP for the, I mean, for purposes of revenue. So that is the reason for increase in property, plant, and equipment. The increase in right to use asset is basically we have taken up a new lease for office, which is a 8-year lease, and the office space that we have currently taken is larger than the one that we were previously occupying. So as a result, I mean, the lease payments as well as, I mean, the lease monthly lease payment as well as the period for which the lease has been taken is accounted for, and I mean, as per Ind AS, accordingly, right to use asset as well as the lease liability is created.
Understood. So previously, how many states would we be having, and what is the number now?
Okay, so our previous office space was accommodating around 150 seats. Currently, we have doubled the capacity. It's around the gap.
Understood. Okay. So now coming to the business understanding question, the number you provided of 5 crores approximately per telco customer that is possible annually, that seems a small number compared to the size of the telcos as well as the kind of service we are providing. So if you can please explain this.
You're referring to the market, the addressable market size that was given, right?
You said per telco customer for us can do 5.5 crores.
Yeah, I understand. Now, see, if you go and check some analyst reports on the business that we have, you will see that the market opportunity is a few billion dollars, very large.
Hmm.
I can easily give you such a number and justify it as well. I thought, but that's never been my approach. That doesn't make sense to me. What really matters is what we are able to do. And I would like to go by the historical evidence for that. Now, I can say that I will sell 20 crores per year per telco. But what does the history say? And so if you look at my, over the past few years, what have I built it to? I started with zero per telco. We are now at about 2.5 to 3 crores per telco. So when I give you the market size and opportunity, I'm not telling you what could be the potential opportunity 15 years from now. I'm telling you what is the addressable market as we sit here today. And this will keep growing for two reasons. One is that we will have more and more products, which means the addressable market will increase. Plus, our own pricing will increase, and you know, things like that will happen. So because of that, there will be a double benefit which will increase the market size. So what I was trying to give you is a very realistic number that we can look at this point in time for you to understand where we stand. So do we have enough runway is the question. We have got a very long runway. So over the next 5 years, I can grow at 25, 30% or 40% every year and still be nowhere near that saturation point. And that's all I'm looking at. I'm not looking at the next 10 years. I'm not saying that's going to be the growth rate. I'm just telling you that for a growth rate of that nature also, I've got enough market opportunity. Then why should I bother whether it's 2,000 or 10,000 crores?
Of course. Not really, sir. And I believe the portfolio of services we have right now, those can garner 5.5 crores. So if you can explain, where are we in terms of that number? Are we right now at 10 crores, 3 crores per customer, or are we already at 4 to 5 crores only in that range?
I'm having a bit of difficulty hearing you. That's why I'm requesting you to be. So are you asking about number of telcos we are with? Is that what you're asking?
So I'm trying to understand, if I look at our current portfolio of services, I believe you provided the 5.5 crores number for that. So if you can explain across our customers, where are we in that range right now? Are we already doing 2 to 3 crores per customer? Is it much lower, or are we already at 4 to 5 crores per customer?
Okay, so I said we are 5 crores is the potential. We are currently at 2.5 to 3 crores per customer.
Understood. But we have the services already to reach that number of 5.5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have the solutions at this point in time to reach 5. Absolutely. When we will reach 5 is a different question, but we have, that is why, that's how I calculate. Because I really don't believe in throwing all these analyst numbers and all that, which, you know, they have got these reports and they say it is a $20 billion market and all that. It really doesn't make sense, you know, I mean, looking at it like that.
It's very understandable, sir. So now coming more to the domestic customers, I see that we are only serving Vodafone right now. So what is stopping us from serving Airtel and Jio?
Well, it's merely their readiness for, are they looking for a replay? Because everybody has some product or the other of this nature, okay? We are not in a, we don't have greenfield opportunities, we only have brownfield opportunities. So they should be ready to replace their existing thing. We should be interested in the price points that they are talking about. So various things have to align. That's all that stuff is.
But they must already be having the engagement order. So is it like they are right now servicing it in-house, or is there some other vendor they are using?
Some telcos do have in-house, but that's very few and far between. So I'm not quite sure about these two telcos in India. You know, so we have not, we're not quite focused on them at this point in time.
Okay.
We don't look at this from a country perspective at all. We look at it from a global perspective, and the opportunities are plenty all over the world.
Hmm. Understood. And so my last question will be in terms of the product development expenses. If you can just explain me what would that number be for the last 1 or 2 years, and it seems, if I'm not wrong, we are expensing it, right?
So you are, Sharath, you want to take that? I mean, yeah, we are, this is a software development expense you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sharath, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I couldn't hear the question clearly.
No, his question is, what is our software development expense on an annual basis, and are we expensing it?
Okay, yeah, we are definitely expensing our software development expenses. So our, software development expense is around 75% of our total. So that would be our development expense.
I couldn't hear you clearly. You said 75% of?
75% of our total expense accounts to our software development expense.
Wow. Okay. So, lot of operating money. That's it. And so, my last question is, how much of our revenue is one-time billing versus recurring revenue? Yeah, it's just the last question. How much of our revenue is the one-time sales versus the revenue?
No,
how,
maybe you could remember. Please download that deck and see it's given very clearly there.
Understood.
You'll find that in our website. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello. Okay, great. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So first up, just wanted to understand on your leverage part, I mean, the non-linearity in your revenue that you are seeing. So can you throw some more light? I mean, so what sort of leverage we are talking about here? I mean, when revenue grows by some percentage, your cost will grow at a lower percentage. That will kind of drive your EBITDA margin. So what sort of optimal level of EBITDA margin that we are looking at? I mean, that's what you mentioned, that we are looking to reach optimal level of, and in how many years we can reach that level?
I'll address this in a rather qualitative manner. So really, this is the balancing act here is with respect to how much we want to invest in the business, how much we want to, you know, save on that front and things like that. And the natural gap between increasing revenue and increasing cost. So between the between all of that, we will get to the, you know, optimal thing at some point in time. So in my mind, an optimal EBITDA will probably be somewhere between 30% and 35%. And by when would we reach? Well, that becomes a guidance, right? So just please wait and watch.
Okay, I mean next 5 years is what we want to reach, not a guidance.
So you're asking whether in the next 5 years 30 to 35%, right?
Yes, that's what.
I would say eminently doable.
Doable, right? I mean, in next 5 years. And in terms of growth, I mean, qualitatively, if you can just throw some light, I mean, currently what the rate we are growing, I mean, we can grow at the same rate going forward, excluding the...
No, it's a bit, we don't want to get to growth numbers and stuff like that. And historically, we have grown faster, but I don't want to be commenting on that at this point in time.
Okay. And in terms of your revenue mix, I think your one-time revenue is currently 13%, and whereas your recurring and reoccurring revenue is close to 87%. So how do you see that mix going forward?
Sharat, you want to address that?
Our focus will be in increasing the recurring revenue, recurring and reoccurring, because that will give a better predictability on the revenue front. However, if there are opportunities where we get one-time revenue, we would take that as well. As I said, the focus will be to increase the recurring revenue, but it is very difficult to give a projection on that, because at times there could be license revenues which could change the structure.
Understood. And that's very clear. And just one last small thing. Who would be peer for us? I mean, competitor? Who would be operating in the same field?
There are about a dozen players who are competition. Some are small players and some are large players. The smaller ones are the likes of Comviva or Flytext and all them in Exacast, Evolving Systems, etc. Now, the large ones are Adobe, Pega, Salesforce, SAS. Those. So overall about a dozen players. But some of them do many other things as well. I mean, it's not just this that they do. They do other things as well.
And none in listed space, right? I mean, in India?
None. I mean, they are listed. Like, if you look at a Pega, they are definitely listed. But then they do 100 other things.
100, yeah,
so
of course. I mean,
somebody who does only our products, none in listed space.
None in listed. Okay, I got it. That's very clear, I think. That's very helpful also. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ankur Gulati from Genuity Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Can you just give us more example of your product? How exactly are telcos using it, so that as a layman we can understand? Unfortunately, I'm struggling to contextualize it right now.
Okay, let me give you some more details. So our flagship product is called Campaign Management Solution. What it does is, it collects the data is the same for all our products, because it's all the transactions that go through the telco network. So the Campaign Management Solution collects all the data, processes all of that, and creates the profile of each subscriber. Now the profile will show whether this person makes international calls or domestic calls, whether this person, downloads music or movies, whether this person, purchases something using their phone or not. I mean, a variety of things. You know, whatever the behavior of the person is using the phone, that becomes a profile of the person. Now, based on the profile, the telco will now decide as to what products they should promote to the subscribers. What should they try to cross-sell? What should they try to upsell? So this is exactly. So if they see a particular person has a 5GB pack, and if they see that in the first 20 days of every month, this 5GB is getting exhausted, now they can go and try and push a 10GB pack to them, or an 8GB pack, something like that. So this is just a simple example. So that's campaign management. Now, loyalty management is the next product. You all know what loyalty management is, where people, when they use, based on usage, they get loyalty points, then they can redeem the loyalty points, etc., etc. Then we have got what's called as CDP. That is a customer data platform, which helps them to actually collect all the data and stitch the data so that identities can be, confirmed. So a particular subscriber may come in through a particular device for and perform an action. They may come in through another device and perform a different action. Maybe they'll go to the website of the telco and perform an action. Now, all those things need to be stitched and connected so that they can then realize who that individual subscriber is and then pitch accordingly. So that's what that is. So everything is about collecting the data, processing the data, analyzing that, understanding that, coming up with the profile, rewarding them for their action by way of loyalty points or sending them campaigns to promote different products.
That's what we do. Yeah. So listen, I have all these quick commerce apps. Do you guys get data of quick commerce users app and that helps you profile the subscriber better, or you only get data which the telco gets?
We work with first party data, which is just the telco data. We can work with other data as well if we have access to that, but right now it's only first party data.
So help me understand, the telco at the end of the day can only sell their products, right? They are not able to push
They can sell non-telco products if they have got relationships with, vendors of to whatever extent they can. I mean, maybe they can sell insurance to their customers if they want to.
Or they can share that data profile with the insurance company, right?
That is what we do with respect to data monetization solution. So we have got something called a data monetization solution. So there what happens is the telco has the data. So let's take Vodafone Idea. They have got 250 million subscribers in India. So they have got the data. They have got the profiles of these people. Now, if a bank wants to target those people, if Reebok or Nike wants to target, or Shoppers Stop wants to target those people, the telco can actually provide access to those people to send those campaigns. However, that will be done in an anonymized manner.
Yeah, that's fine. So, hypothetically, if my SMS shows that I have a negative bank balance, you guys can share that data with any of these lenders and they can approach me for a loan.
Yeah, it will be in a very anonymized manner. They can get any of these vendors to use the telco data.
Okay, perfect. Now, second part, can you give us more details on the contract terms? What is the typical tenor, payment, and incentives, if at all?
Typically, we have 3 to 5 year contracts, and we get paid at the end of every month or at the end of every quarter.
But do you have 4 or 5 years? Long contract or is it annual?
Yeah, three to five years. It's generally either 3 or 5, mostly 5.
And if there are there incentives? I mean, if you hit certain milestones, then you get more share of whatever.
We have some contracts where we have a revenue share. So based on how much incremental revenue we generate for them, we get a percentage of that.
Okay. Third, if I look at your one-time revenue, is it fair to assume that if you make, let's say, 5 crores of one-time revenue in 1 year, that gives you... If I look at your one-time revenue, that's basically the revenue on onboarding, right?
Yes,
so if you make 1 rupee of recurring revenue...
One-time revenue is not onboarding revenue. One-time revenue is a perpetual license revenue or an implementation revenue like that.
And is there a longer tail or a multiple to that? I mean, if you make 1 rupee in this year of one time, does it usually give you 5x over next 5 years or something of that sort?
Okay, you're asking as to how much we will get by way of revenue from customers. That is very difficult to say. Definitely every new customer will generate more revenue in the long term, but we can't put a number like that to it.
Just can't apply a multiple, right? Because at least for the last 2 years in the presentation.
That's very difficult to apply a multiple like that.
Yeah, last thing, I mean, what you're doing for telcos, you can do it for all these e-commerce guys or D2C brands, but you are saying you don't want to get into that right now.
At this point in time, we are very focused on telcos. We've got enough business there, tremendous opportunity and growth and all there. And we are a specialist in telcos, so we are rather stay focused on that.
Got it. Okay. All the best. Thanks.
Yeah. I told you in my, as in response to my earlier question, we compete with some very large companies like Salesforce, SAS, Pega, Adobe.
how do we compete with these guys? They're very large, they've got a lot of wherewithal and, you know, marketing and name and fame and all that. The single most important element or USP that we have against all of them is that we are very telco specific. They are not. They are very general. They're generic players. And they can never, ever hold a candle to what we can offer by way of products.
Yeah, understood. Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from Manoj Sharma from FinAvenue Growth Fund. Please go ahead. A repeat question comes from Manoj Sharma from FinAvenue Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, congratulations on the number and for the acquisition as well. So I have a few questions. My first question is, on the November investor PPT, I can see Airtel as a client in lot of geography. But today, I can't see Airtel as a client on the geography side. Can you throw some light on that?
Yeah, this was a trial that we were running with Airtel at that point in time. And right now we are waiting for some contract confirmation and stuff like that from them. So that's why we have not kept them there.
Okay. And secondly, in US, do we have clients from the European side?
In Europe, we have one customer in Bulgaria. That's what we have.
So there is no further plans, yeah?
Not as yet. Europe is not a market that we are focusing on today. We don't even have sales presence there.
Okay. And my question is regarding the acquisition part. So we have acquired Airtel because I think it operates in financial service sector as well, right? So we are planning to serve banking sector in future, or how we are looking for the Airtel company?
No, Airtel has a mobile financial services business that we are buying. That is for the telcos. It's not for the banking sector.
Okay, so you are buying for the telco sector only. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, and my final question. So I think company like Jio in India has in-house platforms. So how we will then capture the big clients and scale up gradually?
I'm not understanding the question. I mean, this is, you're asking about the regular sales process. What is the question? How do we
capture
big clients? I mean, we have some very large customers outside as well now.
So can we offer Jio? Because I think Jio has an in-house platform, right? So can we give Jio as a service? You know, because I think we have products that we can cross-sell to them. So we have tried to do that for Airtel or Jio.
No, we have not tried much with Airtel or Jio here in India. Honestly, the price point that in a company like Jio will expect is very, very, very low. That is my, you know, that's after 25 years of experience in the telecom industry.
Okay.
So I'm not even sure whether we would like to go to Jio at this point in time or not, or Airtel in India.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Avinash from Profit Mart Securities. Please go ahead. A repeat question comes from Avinash from Profit Mart Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, Marji, this is Avinash. You know, congratulations on a very good set of numbers. In fact, had the pleasure to talk to you, you know, during the IPO time, if you could remember me.
Yeah.
Subhaji, now one thing I wanted to understand, I was just seeing at your operating cash flows. I mean, you know, very strong operating cash flows. So I just wanted to understand, is our business a prepaid business? Like, when do we get our payments from the customer? Do we get some of it upfront or completed? And secondly, you know, tell me one thing, that normally how much time does it take for you to implement plan? Like typically a new company comes in, you know, how long does your team take to actually commission that with your campaign service, which you said, you know, where you analyze the data, you know, of the customers? How much time does it take for you to operationalize and, you know, tell the that this results, you know, have been?
Okay, I will handle one part of the question. It takes us about 4 to 6 months to implement a solution in a telco and operationalize it. The question on the financial side of it, I would request Sharath to answer.
Yeah. So on the collection front, the billing happens, I mean, it all depends on the contract. So there are monthly billings, there are quarterly billings, etc. And the DSO that we have achieved for 24-25 was around 85 days. So as compared to the previous year, which was around 145 days. So that shows that the debtors, I mean, the sales outstanding days has been improving constantly. So while, I mean, 85 days may or may not be like constantly achieved, but we expect to achieve at around 100 to 110 days in a or 100 to 120 days in the longer term, which is a very healthy DSO for our kind of business.
Okay. This is just talking to
Avinash, your voice is not clear, sir. Avinash? There is no response. The next question comes from Jimmy Gavathara from SBKS MIRC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
One small question regarding the exponential growth which you are talking about. Will we require any fundraising in the near to medium term for the same? Or our working capital will be stressed for that?
I would like to, let me answer that. First of all, I don't think I use the term exponential. I said there will be significant growth.
Yes, significant.
Because exponential is a completely different
word. No problem,
so
significant growth.
Just clarifying. Now, we know, for our organic growth, we don't need to raise money. We are quite profitable. We'll continue to be quite profitable. So that, and our cash flow will be adequate for organic growth. If at all we need to raise money, that will be for inorganic growth.
Okay. And one small query regarding margins. It was in the 28 to 35% range, if I'm not mistaken. What was the operating profit margin, which was asked in some past question, but I wasn't able to hear clearly.
Okay, Sharath, can you give the full year EBITDA and profit percentage?
Yeah, full year EBITDA margin was around 19.82, it was 19.82 crores, that was around 23%, 23.1. So that was our EBITDA margin, and the tax margin was around 14%, which was like
11.9 crores. Okay, and so how much margins can we expect going ahead? How much operating leverage can be kicked in?
So we had answered this question earlier, and the answer given was... I will repeat that, no problem.
Yes.
We think that an optimal EBITDA level will be somewhere between 30 to 35% at some point in time.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Praful Roy from Arjo Partners. Please go ahead.
I have just a few questions. The first one is, you said you have 40 customers and the addressable opportunity is to reach out to 400. And most of the expansion will happen in a brownfield way. Just wanted to get a handle that how many people or customers are we engaged with as we speak for business growth. That is one. Second is, what is our right to win? You said that you are a telecom-focused company, but I'm sure others are also offering similar services. So when a customer evaluates you, what merit do you offer vis-a-vis others? These are two big questions.
Okay. So
the your first question is with respect to, sorry, I forgot the first question already.
I said, how many customers are we reaching out to? We have addressable market is 2,000 customers. We are reaching out to 40.
Yeah, now I remember. So we have, at any point in time, we will have a strong pipeline of at least about 35 to 40 customers, potential customers. So that's the number. Now, the second question that you asked was with respect to?
Was the right to win. Suppose you reach out to a right customer, how does the evaluate versus your competition?
So the USP, so basically, the first and foremost thing is the quality of the product or the features and functionalities that we bring to the table. So this is where we invest very heavily in R&D and keep improving our products. So that's the most important thing. So when we put our product in front of a customer, they should see that it is much better than what the competition has to offer. That's one thing. The second thing is the very, very deep domain expert. I'm not prioritizing or anything. All of them are important, but maybe the first thing is slightly more important than the rest. So the next thing is the domain expertise that we bring to the table. And the third thing is the reputation we have in the market by way of what kind of support are we extending, what kind of reference our customers will provide. So these are primarily the things that a customer looks at. So when they see that the product is really fantastic, very good, all the capabilities are there, and that we are a very reliable partner with very deep domain knowledge, well, that's it. Those are the USPs that they look for.
Just extending these questions, when a customer replaces a vendor to you, what is the time of, what is the description time for that? Because you will get into their ecosystem and somebody has to move out. How much time does it take for the transition to happen?
That transition is pretty much the same as our implementation period of 4 to 6 months, plus maybe another couple of months.
Okay. Okay. And the last question is, out of the 40 new customers you're reaching out to, what is the historical rate of conversion has been taken?
Conversion. We are a very, very focused, we have a very focused sales approach. We don't have 25 sales guys running all around town and all that. We have got just a handful of sales guys because we believe that is the more successful model in this industry. So typically, I would say we win about 3 out of 10 contracts that we run after.
30% sort of, give or take.
Yeah, 30%, yeah.
And how much time it takes for you to get the customers converted? Later.
Oh, the sales cycle is about 10 to 12 months. Some telcos, what happens is we may lose them now, and after 3 years, we may win them again. That's possible as well.
And what are the instances of customers leaving us out of that 40? What is the customer turn? Some customers will be obviously moving out of us to other vendors. What that number would be like?
As of now, we have not lost any customer.
Lovely. I think this is great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Welcome. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is not to say that we may not lose anybody in the future. I just want to clarify that. That's the disclaimer I would like to give. At this point in time, that's what it is. Yeah, please go ahead. The next question.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Sankit Saad from RAIF. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Subhas sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. And thank you for the opportunity. So I just have a few questions. Most of my questions have been answered. So first, is there going to be any strategic acquisition that you are planning for the coming 12 months?
Okay, good evening and thanks. We have identified one acquisition that the details of that business acquisition is in our is in the deck that's on our website, the investor deck. So kindly go through that. This is the business of a company called Estel. We hope to conclude that in the next 1 month.
Yes, yes. So, apart from that, actually, I'd already gone through that.
Okay, sorry, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
No, apart from that, I mean, that is difficult to say, right? We keep talking to a lot of companies. It depends upon whether something comes to our liking and they should like us as well. So it's very difficult to predict when the next one will happen. Are we constantly on the lookout? Answer is yes.
Okay. All right. And One more question which I had was, so in India, we are focusing primarily on Vodafone. So two small questions regarding this. How much of the total revenue comes from Vodafone in our consolidated statement? And the Vodafone users have been falling, as you know, what I could read from the news. So has that impacted our revenue in any sense, or do we get like some sort of fixed revenue from Vodafone?
Okay, we have a fixed monthly revenue from Vodafone, so it has got no relationship with whatever happened out there. The percentage at this point in time is probably about 13 to 14%.
Okay, all right, not bad. So are there any, if you could just name a few clients which are probably in your bidding pipeline, or, you know, so to say, who you are trying to acquire in the coming 12 months?
Pipeline is confidential. I'm sorry, I won't be able to share that. So we certainly don't want a competition of ours to get to the transcript of this and have that information. Like,
fair enough, fair enough. And on the deck, it says that there were 36 customers in 2024. Could you comment on how many there were in the closing of 2025 financial year?
Kindly look at our deck on the web, on our website, and you will see the progression over the past few years.
Oh, okay. I wasn't able to find the 2025 clients, but I'll go through it again.
So you're asking about 25 is not over.
Yeah,
that's actually calendar 24 we have given.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah,
got it.
That's calendar 24.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. That's all from my side. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Sridhar Jadhav from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, at the time of IPO, we had mentioned that we also plan to look at banking sector along with telecom. But now we have again pivoted the back to our focus only on telecom. So any views on that? Because banking is also much relevant with lots of customer data, credit cards, other banking products. So
We had indeed thought about it at that point in time as a potential sector to look at. But at this point in time, we are we are seeing tremendous opportunities in the telecom space itself. And over the past 1 year, you know, things have really moved up quite a bit for us in the telecom side. So we thought we'll take it a bit slow on that side and continue to focus on telecom.
And, sir, what would be the customer concentration? So top five customers would be contributing to how much revenue?
Sharath, would you have that number?
I don't have that ready.
Ballpark as a percentage, like top three would be 50-60%.
No. The top five, if you ask me, I'll hazard a guess here. It is probably in the region of about 30-35%, not more than that.
Understood. And so I am aware we are declaring dividend. However, having said that, we are sitting on a cash of 30-35 crores. So the idea is to go for an acquisition in near future. How are we looking at it? Or will we
already have? We have announced an acquisition, right? We still have to pay for it. We have not paid.
Okay. You will close in.
In a month.
That's all from my side. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
Okay, thanks everybody. Thank you very much for your active participation. If you have more questions, feel free to contact us. If you want to set up meetings or something like that, we can have independent and separate calls if you would like to have that. We are available at all points in time. Thank you very much for your support and for the participation in the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Ajita.
Thank you. On behalf of Ventura Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.